wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
This week on Dear Science, Francis talked to AUT Professor Marcus Jones about the US COVID origins report, Arctic warming linking to cold winters, and the Mars rover Perseverance collecting its first rock sample to bring back to Earth. Francis began by asking Marcus to explain the COVID origins report.
Yeah, so this is sort of the initial report on an intelligent investigation on whether on what is the actual origin of SARS-CoV-2 and whether it was an accidental leak from a lab or from some animals, or was it a weaponized genetically engineered virus or something like that. And so this is the result of an order from U.S. President Joe Biden on the 26th of May for a 90-day U.S. intelligence community investigation into where the coronavirus came from. And Biden received the investigation's classified report this week on the 24th of August, or last week, and an unclassified version was made public just a few days ago. And the top line result is that the investigation was inconclusive. Intelligence agencies were divided on whether the pandemic most likely began because of a lab accident or because of human contact with an infected animal. The only strong conclusion is that the coronavirus was not developed as a biological weapon. Most agencies thought with low confidence that it was unlikely to have been genetically engineered. And researchers aren't really surprised that the intelligence community hasn't solved the mystery of COVID-19's beginnings, because outbreak origin investigations are often very complicated. COVID-19 was first reported in Wuhan in China, where a leading institute studies coronaviruses, making a lab escape possible. And most emerging infectious diseases begin with a spillover from nature, lending weight to that scenario. But researchers are welcoming what seems to be a dispassionate investigation. After more than a year of politicization around how COVID-19 began, if you remember Trump and his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and some other State Department officials argued that the virus was the product of a Chinese government manipulation. He was calling it the China virus and all sorts of pretty politicized things. But in April last year, the intelligence community issued a statement that the COVID-19 virus was not man-made or genetically modified. But this was, many thought, a fairly hasty conclusion. And so Biden asked the intelligence community to look into both the lab and natural origin hypotheses and brought scientists into the investigation. And so the one-page report reveals that the National Intelligence Council and four intelligence groups lent towards COVID-19 stemming from a person naturally infected by an animal. So this looks like the actual cause is still not completely certain. There will be further investigations. So that after this release, Biden said there will be more efforts to trace the origins of COVID-19. But the good news, I guess, is that it doesn't look like it was an intentional event and it wasn't a genetically modified virus.
Do you think we'll ever know? Do you think they'll get to the bottom of it?
I think it's a very, very difficult thing to figure out. If there wasn't this virus lab, coronavirus lab, just where the outbreak happened, then I think the conclusion would be more simple. Probably some infected animal and the virus jumped over to a human host. But just because this lab is here and there are coronaviruses in that lab, makes the whole situation a lot more confusing.
It certainly does. All right, let's move on to this next hot topic of climate change and Arctic warming leading to colder winters.
Yes, it's a hot topic, but in this case it's a cold topic, because turns out the global warming can also lead to cooling in certain cases. And this is a study that's shown that increases in extreme winter weather that we've seen, especially in parts of the US, are linked to accelerated warming of the Arctic. So you've got warming in one area leads to cooling in another. And scientists found that heating in the region ultimately disturbed this sort of circular pattern of winds around the poles, around the North Pole at least, called the polar vortex, which allowed colder winter weather to flow down south to the US. And notably, if you remember back in February, people were dying in Texas from the cold, which was unexpected at the time. And the authors of this say that warming will see more cold winters in many locations. So you see that over the last four decades or so, satellites have shown that increasing global temperatures have had a profound effect on the Arctic. And warming in that region is far more pronounced than in the rest of the world. And this has caused a rapid shrinkage of summer sea ice. And in fact, at times the sea ice has been at such a minimum that shipping passages have opened up that have never been opened before. And so scientists have long been concerned about the implications of this sort of amplification of change on the rest of the planet. And this study indicates that the warming in the Arctic is having a significant impact on winter weather in both North America and in East Asia. And in this report, they detail a complex meteorological chain that connects this warmer region to a rotating pattern of cold air known as the polar vortex. So the authors have shown that the melting of ice in the Barents and Kara seas, which are far north over north of Russia, lead to increased snowfall over Siberia, and a transfer of excess energy that impacts the swirling winds in the stratosphere above the North Pole. And the heat ultimately causes a sort of a stretching of that vortex, which enables extremely cold weather to flow down into the US. And this is a cycle that has been going on, you know, since the late 70s. There's been an increase in this stretching event since satellite observations began in 79. And scientists believe that this vortex stretching process led to the deadly Texas cold wave in February. So the authors here believe their work could improve predictions about the onset of extreme cold weather events. And one of the benefits of the study is that if you recognize the precursors and you know the conditions that are favorable for triggering such an event, then you can get to extend your forecast and predict and give people more warning. And so in Texas, people could certainly have prepared better with better warnings, because some people froze to death in their homes, and perhaps they could have gone to seek shelter sooner. And it supports the, you know, people are saying, well, sometimes it's colder, you know, they call this global warming, but we're getting colder winters, so how can this be global warming? Well, it is. It's just the warming in some areas are causing these cooling events in others.
Yeah, sort of like a more extreme seesaw or something.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, and let's move on finally to this Mars rover that has found its first rock sample.
Yes, so, well, I mean, they've found lots of rocks on Mars, but what's happened is that this rover Perseverance, which we've talked about before, has managed to retrieve its first rock sample. So it's drilled into some rock and retrieved some of the sample rock that it's drilled out. And this was the core that was drilled out represents the first ever rock section collected on another planet that is intended for return to Earth. So at some point in the next few years, a mission will go to Mars and catch up with that rover and take the samples and fly them back to Earth. And so there's going to be more studies of these samples back on Earth. And this was an anxious few days after the robot drilled into this slab of rock that they've called Rochette for some reason. And they thought that the core might have been dropped, but images that they'd taken of the drill head show the sample safely inside the mechanism. And so the rover's going to take more than two dozen of these samples over the next year or so, and these will be fetched home by a joint US and European effort later in the decade. And so this rover landed on Mars's Jezero crater back in February. This is a 45-kilometer wide depression about 20 degrees north of the planet's equator. And because of this, it looks to have held a lake billions of years ago, and scientists think the sediments may hold traces of ancient microbial life, which is why we're very interested in getting rock samples and really looking at them closely. And so since it touched down, the rover has driven more than 2 kilometers. It's now sitting on a slightly raised ridge, which has been nicknamed the Citadel. It's here that the team selected this rock as a target for the drilling attempt. The robot itself is equipped with a sort of a caching system that will take a finger-sized core of rock cut by the drill and place it in a titanium tube. And before it seals this tube, before it seals the cylinder, they take a quick look, image the contents, and make sure it's there. And this is the second attempt at doing this. In early August, during a first sampling attempt, the Perseverance satellites realized that they had nothing in the tube. And what had happened is the mechanism had shattered the rock to a powder that then just fell back onto the ground around the drill hole. But it looks like this time they've got it. And so what's going to happen is the sample is going to be processed within the robot's, basically the belly of the robot. And at some point in the next few years, it'll be hauled back to Earth. What's interesting now is that Perseverance is shadowed by its little helicopter friend called Ingenuity, which had its first flight a few years ago. This was taken as the technology demonstration, but now the drone is being used routinely to scout the terrain ahead of the rover. So they fly the little helicopter, make sure the terrain is good, and then they drive the rover off. So it's sort of like a double team thing going on.
Fascinating as per usual, Marcus. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.